Good morning.
Good morning.
It is great to see you all this morning. If you're our guest, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the Lagos International Christian Church. It is great to have you all with us this morning. I hope you're inspired. I hope you had some good time in the Word this morning. Good time in prayer. Because, you know, we're at church where this shouldn't be your only time getting into the Bible. Amen, family? Yeah. We're actually Christians. We're disciples of Jesus where we get into the Bible before we get into church. Amen? Yeah. We have our own walk with God. We don't expect the preacher just to get us in the Word. We get into the Word ourselves. Amen? Yeah. Great to have you here this morning. Today, we're going to continue a four-part series on the book of Acts. Today is the third part. And the first part, the title message of the first part was building what? A great church. Last week we talked about people, passion, and persecution. And so today the title of the message is called World Missions. Because as a God's church, you know, if you're a guest here today, you may be thinking this is just another nice little church coming together. Guys, that's not what God's kingdom is. God's kingdom is international.
Amen.
God's church, God's body is across the world. But sadly, there are churches today that are not united in God's word. And everyone's kind of building their own kingdoms. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And so that's not our goal here. I'm but a servant of the Lord. Yeah. We are part of a kingdom of God, part of 5,000 disciples, yeah, almost 70 churches on every single populated continent of the world. Are you with me here, guys? And so that's what we're a part of. If you're a guest here this morning, again, you're welcome. But the goal here is to make disciples of all nations with the same life and the same doctrine. This is huge for us here. You know, the first week when we studied it on out, we looked at what it meant to build a great church by looking at the first century church in the book of Acts. Turn over in your Bibles here to the book of Acts with me. And we looked at how, you know, the book of Acts really is a mirror for what true Christianity is. If you want to see what it means to be a true Christian, you got to get into the book of Acts. It is the history book of the New Testament. Are you with me here? And so we looked at what it meant to build a great church. You got to have a great message. You got to have great boldness, and you're going to deal with great persecution when you do it. Amen. Then we looked at how the second lesson was more about people, passion, and persecution, and the fact that God's church needs to be made up of all people, not just Igbo, not just Yoruba, right? Not just Hausa, but you know what? We got expats around us too, don't we?
Yeah.
Right? We need to get all types of people to hear God's word. We don't want to be prejudiced. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, we looked at how the new sense of identity and the fellowship in the first century church as Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles made Jesus Lord. Amen?
Amen?
And I pray that you had a good time sharing your faith with someone who's maybe looked different than you this week. Yeah. Right? Did you share your faith with a Lebanese person?
No.
Your faith with an Indian person yet?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, 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 come on. All right. What about a vanilla brother? What about a vanilla sister? A white. You know, I used to call them chocolate, vanilla, hazelnuts. I used to do that in the United States all the time. But white person, Indian person, we're surrounded by them, guys. We need to truly go to all nations. Amen?
Amen.
And with that passion came persecution. You know, it came persecution because the attacks from family and friends are usually the toughest to deal with. But remember that sentimentality is sin.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Amen.
And so if we're going to please men, Galatians 1 says we cannot be a servant of Christ.
Amen.
You cannot be a servant of Christ if you want to please people. Right?
Right?
I heard this quote one time. It said, to be right with God has often meant to be in trouble with men.
Right.
To be right with God has often meant to be in trouble with men. Why? Because if you take a stand for God, even if you're not even trying, people look at your example and they feel judged. They feel condemned. Oh, how come you're not going to the club with me? Oh, how come you're not sleeping with that girl even though I am? How come you not? And people are like, and you may not say anything. But you know what? They'll feel judged. Why? Because in their hearts, they know.
Yeah, that's true.
They know it's not right. But they want to do it anyway. Are you with me here, guys? And see, if you're a guest here today, we're not one of those churches that talk a good game on Sunday, and then tomorrow we're sleeping with our girlfriends.
That's right.
Tomorrow we're gossiping and slandering. The next day we're lying and cursing. Oh no, you will not find that here. Actually, later today, we're going to have a little church discipline. Because you can't have a church, you can't have people who are unrepentant in God's church.
Amen.
You cannot do that.
No.
If you claim to be a Christian,
yes,
if you claim to be a disciple and you're in sin, and mind you, we all get into sin. Amen.
Amen.
The only difference between us and the world is that we're forgiven sinners and they're unforgiven sinners. Are you with me here? But the issue is repentance. When you don't want to repent, you take the grace of God for granted. You stomp on Jesus. And there's only a certain point where God will tolerate it so much. And we're going to get into that later today. But you know, the question I have for you is, are you on the devil's most wanted list or his favorite snitch? Are you on the devil's most wanted list or his favorite snitch? You know, it's interesting because this whole concept of, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? Why do you think we just sang a song, Go Make Disciples of All Nations, right? We're talking about missions. We're trying to get the world, get Nigeria to become true disciples and not just Christians. Again, if you're a guest today, this is important because everyone calls themselves a Christian because they wear one of these. Oh, look, I have a cross. I must be a Christian. Really? Seriously? Okay. Have you ever seen a caduceus? You know what a caduceus is?
No.
Okay. A caduceus in the medical world is a pole with a snake wrapped around it.
Okay, yeah.
It's what healed the people when they were in the desert. And they said, look up at this and you won't die because they're getting bitten by snakes.
Yeah.
And the medical world, if you look at medicine, they have a picture from the Bible, a caduceus, which is a pole with a snake wrapped around it. So imagine if I were wearing a caduceus. Would that automatically make me a doctor?
No.
No. So just because you wear a cross doesn't automatically make you a Christian either.
Right, come on,
are you with me here, guys? Very, very important to study this on out. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. You know, for me, it's very, very important to make sure the church stays holy. Because if we don't bring the church to the world, will bring the world to the church. Let me say that again. If you do not bring the church to the world, you will bring the world to the church. And that's why we have to be focused on making disciples. That's why we have to be outwardly focused. Because if we're not, trust me, the world will influence you. Either you influence the world or the world influences you. Today we're going to talk about the strategy of what the primary task of the church is all about. The evangelization of the world. You are in God's army.
That's right.
Your sword is the word of God. Your shield is your faith. And we're trying to help more people to become true disciples. But before we do, take a look at Acts 13. I want to make sure we review a little bit from last week before we jump into our text. Amen?
Amen.
Now remember, last week, right, the title was People, Passion, and Persecution. Now, here we see, we're going to read here in verse 44. I just want to catch you up real quick here. Everyone doing okay? Is it hot in here or is it just me?
No, we're good, brother.
You're good? I just want to check. I know Adelie's always cool. Okay, you're in. Acts 13. It says here in verse 44, remember, people, passion, and persecution, right? Acts 13, starting in verse 44, the Bible reads, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Would that be incredible if the entire city of Lagos came to hear the word of God?
Yes.
Now, you got to remember here, guys, back in this time, it was one church per city. Can you imagine that? One church per city.
Wow.
So imagine the whole of Lagos coming to hear the word of God. Like meeting in like TBF, meeting in like, you couldn't even meet in one of the buildings. It would be too small.
Yeah.
You'd have to break it up into regions. Amen.
Yeah.
But it goes on. It says, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with what?
Jealousy.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of jealousy in the religious world today.
Right.
How big is your church? What are you doing? What do you have in your church? The people forget the church is not the steeple. It's the people. So I've seen churches that are thousands, supposedly, but if you really go in there, there are no disciples.
Wow.
That's it.
It's very sad, guys. I was watching this, there was this one show called Greenleaf. It's a new show by Oprah Winfrey. You know Oprah Winfrey?
Yes.
She did this new religious show. She's like a show. And so you have this one person who's like supposedly a pastor, doesn't even believe in God. Doesn't even believe in Jesus. And then her father is like, I have 4,000 people in my church. 2,000 of them I don't really know. But, I don't. And I mean, like, how can I know everybody? They just come, but they're members because they come. They're members because they come? Really? So do you even know what they teach? Do you know what they believe? Do you know? Do you have your ministers in place to meet their needs? Or is it just an attendance to you?
Yeah.
See, guys, this isn't just come up and show yourself and now you're a member. A minister one time tried to do that here. He's like, oh, man, I really like this church. I like the singing. I like the preaching. I'm a member. I'm like, well, sir, actually, that's not the way it works here. We actually have to sit down with you and make sure that we're united in life and doctrine with you for you to become a true disciple in this church. You don't proclaim membership in this church. We sit down and make sure we are completely united in God's word. Are you with me here? Guys, this isn't like, okay, I'm here now, accept me. No, it's like, God will accept you if you obey the word of God.
Amen.
If you're committed to that. Let's keep reading.
Amen.
It says, when the Jews saw the crowds, they're filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Religious people being persecuted? Or rather, religious people persecuting others? Mm-hmm. Do you know some of the worst persecution comes from religious people?
Yeah.
Then Paul and Barnabas was kind of sheepish and didn't know what to say. Is that what it says?
No,
it says, then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. See, when you get to build a great church, you got to have great boldness. We have to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. Wow. But this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Do you see it right here? World missions. You see, a lot of people think, I'm just going to bring salvation to my neighborhood. Salvation to my city. Maybe just salvation to my country. What was God's plan? What did he command them to do? This wasn't like, oh, this is just for the 11 or for the 12. No, no. This is for everyone, guys. He says, I've made you a light that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That was the expectation of God.
Right.
Guys, this is important.
Absolutely.
We've got to be world Christians, not Nigerian Christians.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
I'm not a Nigerian Christian. Actually, I'm not even Nigerian. I'm a world Christian.
Amen.
And because I'm a world Christian, I left the U.S. to come to Nigeria.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Right.
Are you a world Christian this morning?
Absolutely.
Are you a Nigerian Christian?
Amen.
The Bible goes on here. It says, verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Like, amen. We get to be Christians too. And honor the word of the Lord. And all who are appointed for eternal life believe that the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Wouldn't it be awesome, guys, to see all of West Africa, the whole region of West Africa, one for the Lord?
That'd be awesome.
Where everyone's called to truly repent of their sins, become a true disciple, and be baptized into Christ. Not just believe, not just sing some songs, but become true disciples.
Amen.
It goes on here. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing. Uh-oh. And the leading men of the city. You see, they tried to get the influential people to cause persecution. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet to protest them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were sad and depressed?
No.
No, they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Guys, people passion and persecution. How do you react when you get persecuted? Well, even before you go there, how did it go this week in sharing our faith?
Come on.
Were you passionate? Are you excited for more people to know God's word? This is huge for us, guys. Well, it goes on here. In Acts 14, they go from Pisidian Antioch. They go from there to Iconium. They preach the word there again. More people start, you know, basically persecuting them. And every time they keep going, they keep preaching the word, they get persecuted. And they move on, right? Acts 15, John, Mark, and Barnabas go back to Cyprus at the end of it, and then Paul begins his second missionary journey. Now, this is important. I want to make sure you have these nuggets. There are three missionary journeys of Paul in the scriptures. Okay? The first missionary journey is what we studied in Acts 13 and 14. Right? So we see it here. They get sent off in Acts chapter 13 to Cyprus, Pisidia, Antioch, and then to Iconium. The second missionary journey is Acts 16 to 18, which we're going to look at today. And the third missionary journey is from the end of chapter 18 to chapter 21. Okay? So I want to help you guys understand this. Next time I'll put up a map for you so you can see it all. It's pretty cool.
Amen.
But we're going to pick it up right here in chapter 16. And as I said, the title is World Missions. Point number one is very simple. God's plan is for the entire world. Amen. Let's take a look here in Acts 16. Read verse 1. It says, he, as in Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, and whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. So this guy is spoken well of in two churches.
Come on.
That's awesome right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The brothers at Iconium and Lystra spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who were living in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Oh boy, this is interesting. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. Well, that's interesting. In Acts 15, there was that whole central leadership council right there.
That's right.
Where they figure out what's going to be sent out to all the churches. And then now what happens? Now they take, Timothy and Paul, take the decisions reached by the central council for all the churches to obey. Do you see autonomy here?
No.
You see churches doing their own thing?
No.
No. You see all the churches called to one standard. Do you see it here?
Yeah.
There are some people that don't believe in they don't believe in central leadership.
That's right.
They don't believe. They think, oh, every church is do what you want to do. That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, well, it's interesting here. If you read on, it says, if you have it, in verse 5, it says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Amen.
Yes.
So right here, we see Paul is actually doubling back on the churches that he planted in the first missionary journey. And what's awesome here is that we know from Acts 2, the Jerusalem church from day one had daily baptisms.
Amen.
And it's awesome to see Tolu, who's come to be baptized today. Are you with me here? And so, guys, we got to be praying for daily baptisms here in Lagos. Where we can see 7 souls come to the Lord on one Sunday. Would that be awesome right there?
Yeah.
And what's cool is that's the way the first century church was. The first century church was growing. There are always people coming to be baptized. And so what's interesting, though, is that right here in Acts chapter 16, Paul tells Timothy to do something. What does he tell him to do? What does he tell him to do?
Yes, sir.
Let's turn that AC on, guys, because, you know, he says, go and be circumcised.
Yep.
Now, why is this significant? Well, it's significant because in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas were dealing with these group of people called Judaizers. You know what Judaizers said? Judaizers, in Acts chapter 15, were trying to tell people that unless you became a physical Jew, you had to get physically circumcised, you know what circumcision is. The removal of the foreskin of the male organ right there. You had to get physically circumcised, you had to follow all the Jewish laws in order to be a Christian. And this is what they were like, saying, no, this is wrong. You don't have to do that, right, to become a Christian. But yet, what was Paul doing here? He said to Timothy, hey, listen, bro, you're doing awesome. You're spoken of well up in 2 churches. You know what? I want to take you with me for the journey. I want you to come with me as I go plant churches. But here's the problem. Your dad is a Greek. Your mom is a Christian. But people know that your dad's a Greek. And because your dad's a Greek, you aren't circumcised, are you? No. Okay. You know, here's the issue. The Bible, he wouldn't be quoting the Bible because he would, amen. The point of it is that the scriptures, we know, 1 Corinthians 9, if you hold your spot here, what does the Bible say? It says here, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9:19, he says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. To what? To win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews.
Yeah.
To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, as to win those under the law. Verse 22. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Wow. What does this mean? This means that he's saying, Timothy, you know what? God's plan is for the entire world. And we want to help everyone to become true Christians. But you know these Jews? Honestly, bro, they will not even listen to you unless you're circumcised. And even though you don't have to be circumcised to be saved, will you have the faith to circumcise yourself so that you will be willing, so that they will be willing to listen to you?
Amen.
Can you imagine that? Would you be willing? Not just sacrifice your job. No. Not just sacrifice your family relationships, because you're leaving them, by the way. No. Not just sacrifice those things. I want you to sacrifice a piece of your body so you can win as many as possible. Would you do that? Now, mind you, it's one thing to be circumcised when you're a baby. Right? It's a whole nother thing to be circumcised when you're a grown man. Oh, and by the way, this is first century. No anesthesia. No nice scalpel. You're like, pass the flint knife. Maybe you need to drink something to kind of ward off the pain. Alcohol. What do you do? Are you with me here, guys? And you know, when I look at this right here, Timothy, no wonder this guy went on to become a great evangelist. No wonder this guy went on to do amazing things. He went on to lead the church in Ephesus. But I think for us here this morning, if we really understand God's plan is for the entire world, what are you willing to sacrifice? You know, some people can't even sacrifice their jobs to get here.
Right.
Some people can't even sacrifice their relationships with family because they're so afraid of pleasing, they're offending their family. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Some people are so afraid. Oh, my friends, what will they think of me if I don't come to their church? Timothy was willing to cut a piece of himself off so that Jews may be able to say, Jesus is Lord. The mission team came here, sacrificed jobs. I haven't seen my family in a year. Sacrifice, you know, family, friends, not just a year, excuse me, months. Sacrifice all these different things. Why? Because God's plan is for the entire world, which means Nigeria.
Amen.
Are you with me here?
With you, bro.
Sacrifice time. Sacrifice school.
Yeah.
Are you with me here? Sacrifice money. Adley using her own money to be on the team.
Amen.
You see, when you understand God's plans for the entire world, what does that inspire you to do? Sacrifice culture. Sacrifice dress. Sacrifice, you know, some of the sisters are like, man, I'll be more comfortable in pants, but you know what?
Trousers,
excuse me. I'll be more comfortable in trousers, but you know what? In Nigeria, people will not respect you if you wear trousers.
Yeah.
So you need to wear a dress. Amen, my brother, I will wear a dress.
Amen. Come on, bro.
Come on!
Come on.
What do we need to do to win as many as possible?
Yeah.
Are you with me here, guys?
Yeah.
We're willing to do whatever it takes. Change culture. Learn Yoruba.
Yeah.
I was about to start popping off some Yoruba right there. Let me start. Guys, this is serious.
That's right.
Why? Because we want to win as many as possible.
Amen.
See, that's true Christianity. Not just coming and sitting down and singing some songs.
That's right.
Not just wearing a cross around your neck.
Amen.
Sacrifice. That's Jesus. That's true Christianity. Let's keep reading here, family.
Remember.
Amen?
Amen.
But now, you read a passage like that, you're like, oh my gosh, this is intense. And so, this is powerful too, because can we get the bulletin up? It's awesome. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but this right here, we're having our Global Leadership Conference, amen, in Manila, Philippines. And as you can see, the V for victorious, but of course, those are the nails. It's overcoming that makes us victorious. Amen. The crown of thorns. That'd be pretty awesome there. As he scrolls down, it's going to be an incredible conference. I mean, literally. Okay, there we go. It's going to be pretty awesome, guys. The whole theme is going to be on the book of Revelation.
That's right.
Yes.
And so it's from Revelation 21:7. It says, those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my children. And we're having it for the first time ever in the Philippines. Amen. Normally we do it all in Los Angeles, but now we're doing it for the first international GLC, Global Digital Commerce, in the Philippines. Very exciting. And so Patrick and I will actually be heading off Thursday the 27th because we're having kind of a World Sector Leaders Council meeting. Patrick and I have the privilege to be overseeing kind of the, in a Nigerian term, the GOs for all of the continent of Africa. And so there are 8 different world sectors.
Right.
From Africa, Russia, the Far East, U.S. is split up into 3, Central and South America, all these different areas that have a couple overseeing it all.
Yeah.
All right.
And so we have our time to make sure we as leaders are tight, are united, and are strong in the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
See, just because, and I always tell people, I preach, but guess what? Number one, I'm a disciple.
Yeah.
Number one, I'm getting up early. I'm having my quiet time. I'm praying. I'm confessing my sin. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
That's what true disciples do. They don't just talk a good game and then go live another life. And so we have that time. We have this pretty cool prayer war room that in the entire time that we have the conference, we'll have a disciple in there praying on their knees for an hour.
Wow.
Is that pretty awesome right there?
That's awesome.
There'll be continual prayer throughout the entire GLC. Because we're going to have hundreds, if not thousands, of disciples there. And so people can come. At least one disciple, will be praying on their knees every hour, day and night. For the entire time of the 6 days of the GLC. Let's go on up. So that's pretty awesome. We're going to have a global leader. We have this whole church builders conference where all the events, all the ministry leaders come together. We have an administration world congress. Good old going to be going to that right there. Because we want to make sure that the church is above reproach in all matters financial. We don't play around when it comes to money here. And so then we're also going to have an ICCM International College of Christian Ministries. There it is right there. A guy in the red right there you may recognize. And then, and so we're going to have that reception there. We're going to have our first general session. Pretty awesome. Keep going up, bro. We're going to have a whole Mercy Day. Mercy, if you don't know what that stands for, Maximizing Efforts for Relief, Care, and Youth. It's the benevolent organization of our churches worldwide. And every disciple who's a member is automatically a Mercy Ambassador because we're all ambassadors for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to have a whole Merciful White Summit, a men's program for the men, a women's program for the women. Patrick is preaching the word. Go on up there. We're going to keep going up there. And now you see all the different world sector sessions. So there'll be like a session for Eastern U.S., South Asia, Western U.S., Canada. And you see the leaders there for each one. Come on up. Then you have, go back down a little, just scroll. We have the Central and South America world sector, the Europe and Russian world sector.
Come
on. So you see all the leaders there. Come on up. Then you have Australia and Asia, the Pacific Rim, and then Africa and Caribbean. You may recognize some of those guys there. So it's going to be pretty awesome. We have a mess there. Shepherd's Forum there. Midwest. Guys, it's going to be an incredible conference. I'm praying for the day where we can raise the funds to get as many as possible from the church here to go.
Amen.
Let's raise it.
Amen.
A song. It's going to be an incredible time. We have a whole kingdom banquet. I have the privilege to preach for the general session right
here.
Drop me a live stream so you can actually see. Don't forget, right here. First woman appointed, a woman's ministry leader since the planting of the Lagos Pillar Church. I know that they're gonna look fly. But yeah, what's powerful here, guys? I just hope you understand. Like, I'm trying to give you a vision of what you're a part of. It's so much greater. This is the seed. The seed. of what God is doing. And then, you know, we're actually doing a whole Mercy community work day. We're actually going to be driving, putting on our green Mercy shirts, all hundreds of thousands of disciples going to be able to serve projects throughout the Philippines. Pretty incredible stuff. We have our ICCM rehearsal. And then we have the graduation for the International College of Christian Ministries, which is pretty awesome right there. And speaking of which, I want to meet with all the ICCM candidates here. Immediately after service, very briefly, because I want to briefly talk to you about something specifically there, because I'd like to start our first class next Sunday. Amen? And so, it's been incredible. We talk about the bachelor's degree, the master's degree, the doctorate degree. It's pretty remarkable. It breaks it all down. I sent it all out to the church, so you have the opportunity to read it and learn about what God is doing around the world. Oh, yeah. Sorry, keep going.
Come on, Andrew!
Books, we have our own press, our own printing press. Yeah.
That's right.
It's remarkable what God has done. Huh. I know Sisters of Bread, Elevate.
Woo!
Brothers, it's a great book to read too. I read it, it's very good. Tim has his master's thesis in and this is going to be published 2020, 20 Leadership Conventions. And I'll be praying, God willing, next year I want to be able to do mine on the book of Job and Disciples.
Yes.
And so, guys, I think we keep on going, bro. Okay, and awesome. And let's see. Arielle's getting her master's in ministry. This will be an old commencement program. And then you see the Crown of Thorns project. Amen. This is powerful, guys, because there is a plan to see the world evangelize. It's not like, oh, okay, we're gonna win the world. No, there's a plan.
Amen.
And I want you guys to study this. If you take a look here, the plan, in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
Yeah.
Well, that sounds all well and good, but how actually do you do that in our modern day?
Yeah.
You with me here? Our modern day Jerusalem is Los Angeles. Judea and Samaria, United States, Canada, amen? And then to the ends of the earth, we have literally planted 12, this, in Hong Kong,
In August,
we're going to be planting the last Crown of Thorns church, which is Hong Kong.
Woo!
As you can see now, they're all in green.
Yes.
They've all been planted. Yes. Pretty awesome. Yes. And of course, Lagos was planted just last year, man. And see what God has done. But you see now, these 12 key pillar cities literally form a figurative crown of thorns around the world. Because from these 12 key pillar cities, now they'll plant around where their region is to all the key capital cities of their region.
Amen.
And that's how it gets done. Because if you look at the book of Acts, they planted Jerusalem. They skipped, get to Ephesus. Skipped around, get to Antioch. The whole goal there was, by planting key pillar cities, now these pillar cities now evangelize their area.
That's right.
That's why we do it that way. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, for example, to win Africa, we hit Lagos, right? Which is a pillar city right now. The key thing is that from here, we got to get to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
We got to get to Nairobi. We're already in Kinshasa, Central Africa. And then once we have those key pillar cities, now what can we do? Like, Lagos can get to Accra, Ghana. You with me here?
Right.
Johannesburg gets to Cape Town. Nairobi gets, you see, it starts boom, boom, boom. That's the dream.
Amen.
That's Jesus' plan, and that's how it's going to get done. Amen,
amen.
They also have a plan to evangelize all of the U.S. as well, which is pretty awesome. And
amen.
So I think that was it, bro. And go up a little bit more? Is that it? We're good? Yes. So, be praying, but you can keep this up here. It's awesome to be able to see.
Encouraging
to see what God is doing. Amen, family.
Amen.
And so, that's why, you know, for the ICCM, I'm like, guys, this is a ministry training program. That's why you have to have 90 or above on the first principles to be able to be a part of it. And even after that, I got to sit down and count the cost, because last night I was working on this thing. As I've gone through it, this is a seriously formidable program.
Amen.
This is not just giving away stuff. This is tough stuff. And so, but guess what? It's from this pillar church that all Africa will be evangelized.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
So we got to train the next generation of servant ministers and servant leaders to be able to do great things for the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're a guest here, I hope that inspires you. This ain't some nice little sit-down church, go home and leave and And with me here, we're trying to build up ministers for the Lord.
Amen.
Acts 16, going on in verse 6, the Bible reads, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. We don't know exactly what that means. Maybe it was war, maybe it was pestilence, maybe it was famine, we don't know. But it goes on, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us! After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Well, you know where this is going. Amen, guys? This is a pretty powerful scriptures right here. Paul, he's traveling throughout all the region. Next week, I'll make sure to have this map so you can see it more. But for some reason, he's being kept from preaching the promise. Asia was Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. Can you believe it? Modern-day Turkey, which is all Muslim now, used to be Christian. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Guys, if we're not evangelizing the world will evangelize you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, I got too many things to do. I'm busy with life. I got all this stuff going on. I can just be a Christian in my little hut. I'll be a Christian in my house. Be a Christian in my city. Really? Satan's like, okay, you keep doing that. You keep doing that. You know why? Because I'm working to evangelize the world.
All right.
I'm gonna work to evangelize with false religion, false doctrine. Don't worry. I'm working hard. You can sit back and do whatever you think you need to do. See, that's what scares me, guys.
Yes.
You know what the one sin Satan does not commit? Laziness.
No.
Satan is not lazy. That is the one sin he does not commit. He works very hard. Because he knows where he's going. And he's trying to get as many people as possible to be with him. And if we're not trying to extend the grace of God to the world, trust me, he will extend the lies of the world to pull them right on in. You know, this passage is so powerful because for those of you who don't know, Patrick and I and the mission team here, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, we had no plans to come to Nigeria. We were planning to go to South Africa. I mean, literally. I mean, we had the flag. We had the boom. We had all this stuff. I mean, I had traveled there 3 times. I mean, we were setting stuff up. And then in April 2015, we get this. All of a sudden, we're at the conference. We get this call. Like, this brother from, Brandon's name is Benedict Addis. You know, he traveled on a bus to 3 countries to come visit us where we are at the African Missions Conference we were having in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. And we're like, who is this guy? He's 61 years old, traveling on a bus.
Come on.
Just come through 3 countries to come all the way to Ivory Coast just to meet us. He was the man of Macedonia. He was the man of Nigeria. You know, we're talking and we're like, and he's like, Andrew, you must come to Nigeria. I'm like, well, brother, I really appreciate that. I mean, it's we have all our plans in place. He's like, no, bro, you don't understand. You must come to Nigeria. And I'll be honest with you, I'm like, I ain't going to Nigeria. We got plans, man. I mean, but then, you know, but in your head, you're like, because I know the scripture. And I'm like, And we were praying. We're like, God, if we need to go to South Africa, bring out the remnant. Bring out the people that desire for us to come. And the funny thing is, the remnant of people from the ICC or former fellowship in South Africa, Johannesburg, did not come out. But it was amazing. It was like God only opened the door. After Benedict shared about this, he's like, yes, I have my son, Good Hope. He is here. He will join you too. And I'm like, okay. And we have all, and they start telling me about his family. I'm like, oh, really? Bobby? Oh, Bobby's there too. You know, Bobby used to be the song leader for the Remnant Group.
Wow.
I'm going to get you, bro. You're going to be up here singing very soon.
Yes.
Someone's helping him.
And he was telling about the Remnant Group. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, there are people there that want to be a part of a united fellowship, that want to make true disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything. And I'm like, this is amazing. Then I come to find, I didn't even know about this, but Balaji had left the former fellowship and been like, man, I'm just trying to survive. And I'm like, really? So we got the Mainland Church of Christ, we got the ICOC, and then I heard that we have disciples in our own fellowship in London.
Come on, Dami.
That literally had finished the school and had to come back to Lagos, like Dami, like Talani, like Charles. And God just kind of opened up. I said it. And God just kind of opened them. Like, we got the Mainland Church of Christ, we got the ICOC, we have even members from our own fellowship that are trapped in Nigeria and can't go back.
Come on.
The Lord.
Yeah, the Lord.
You know, I just kind of read the scripture, like, then I just looked at him, and I'm like, amen. Amen. I remember I was sitting down with Kip, I was like, bro. We just looked at each other. And we sat down with Benedict for a while, talking through his past. Would you believe that he was baptized in 1972, the same year as Kip McKean?
Wow.
His mentor and Kip's mentor were friends and knew each other. And I'm like, and we just started talking. I'm like, this is intense. And so we're like, well, right. And Kip and I sat down, looked at the scripture. We're like, well, the Lord has answered. The Lord has made it clear. But you know, and then we got the vision.
Amen.
And then we looked around in LA. We're like, well, we're going to have to. How are we going to figure out this mission team now?
Come on, Joshua.
I mean, we were all planning to go to South Africa. But if we're not going to South Africa anymore, we got to find the Nigerians. I remember going to Joshua. I'm like, bro, aren't you Nigerian, bro? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, bro, come on, bro. We're gonna, because you know, it's really funny. When we're getting ready to go to South Africa, it's like, all right, who wants to go to South Africa mission team? Woo, yeah. Jesus, oh, yeah. All right, who wants to go to Lagos? I mean, I have to go grab him. I went to Iggy, I'm like, bro, you're Nigerian. He's like, no, funny enough, Iggy was like, bro, I'm ride or die with you, bro. From day one, because Iggy, funny enough, God had actually brought Iggy to be with me. Because, you know, I baptized his older brother, Owa.
Come on, Owa.
Then Owa went on to help his whole family get converted, including Iggy. And Iggy had actually come to L.A. the same year that Patrick and I left to go to New York City to take over a situation there. And so we knew each other in passing. He's like, Andrew, I saw you preach at like the big congregational, and then you were gone the next week. But then God brought us back together again when we came back. And I remember him saying, Andrew, I want to be with you. I'm coming with you today. Before I even asked him.
Wow.
He said, Andrew, I want to walk with you. So then when everything happened for Lagos, we're like, bro, the Lord is, he was my Timothy.
Wow.
He's always been my Timothy. He's arrived in New York safely, amen. Pray for him and his brother to come out of the church. They want to come out of the church. Owa wants to come out of the church in New York and get restored. Pray for him, amen. But it was powerful because once I got the vision, and I'm like, yes, this is of God. Then it says we got ready at once. Patrick and I mean, I remember Patrick is amazing. She's like, ride or die, let's go.
Wow.
Now, mind you, this is with two kids. Now, mind you, Naomi's 6, Isaiah's 4. Actually, this was before. So she was 5, he was 3. I mean, you're talking about an age where they get any kind of stuff, it could be serious. And we accounted that cost. But we prayed and we're like, amen, God, you know. And she followed her husband. And she has conviction. Are you with me right there?
Amen.
It's one thing to say when you're fired up, but then you gotta bring your little kids along, you're like, serious? And I remember Josh, bro, I was like, bro, we need you, bro. We need a guy who's amazing for the web. I mean, he is so talented. We need a guy who can do the website. Josh, I have to convince him, but he got there, amen. Then I saw Tina. I'm like, sister, you want to go? She's like, oh, yeah. She's like, okay. right there. Ariel was ready to go, amen. No, but I really appreciate it. Like, Tina, Ariel, all of them, they had great hearts. Great hearts.
Come on, Tina.
And you know, but why, guys? Well, why do I share all this? You think this happened easy? Where's your vision this morning? I had to change my vision. I had to change all my plans. Leader of the mission team, change your entire plan. Spend more money to come visit, figure out housing, figure out life. Why? Because God's plan is for the entire world.
Amen.
Where's your vision this morning, family? And you know, you see what it says here? Look at what it says in verse 16. It says, or verse 10 rather, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready, what? At once. To leave for Lagos. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I'm so grateful for the team. I'm so honored to be able to serve, not only this church, but for the mission team that came. Because, you know, those guys that said, you know what, Andrew, if you got the vision, bro, we know this from God, we're with you. What do you see here? It says, Paul had seen the vision. Did the other guys see the vision?
No.
No, they didn't. Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. It says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready, what? Yeah. At once. Mm-hmm. Concluding that God had called us.
Wow.
You know, if you're a guest here today, or maybe even a weak disciple, maybe you're struggling in your vision. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're struggling and being a disciple and understanding God's plan for your life, understanding God's plan for the world. My challenge to you is, are you willing to follow a man of vision?
Amen.
Sisters, are you willing to follow a woman of vision? Amen. Guys, you know, sometimes you're like, I don't know what God has for my life. Maybe you need to follow the person God's put in your life.
Right.
To find out where to go. That's how God works. He works through people. Yeah. You know, it's been an incredible journey for Patrick and I. From Syracuse, New York, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, back to New York, back to Los Angeles, and now here in Lagos. And I know God's plan is just beginning.
Amen.
I can't wait to see the plan He has for your life.
Amen.
I can't wait to see all that God's going to do. Well, what's powerful about all this, guys, is that scholars call this the Macedonian vision because for the early part of Paul's ministry, it was based in modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor. I'm not sure if you can get a map or find a map quickly, bro, about this, like the Acts and stuff, while you're working on that, if you can. What Paul was working on was Asia Minor. Imagine Turkey in your head. Can you see, like, the map of... Just imagine it. Can't imagine it? Well, in ICCM, you're going to learn it, by the way. You're going to learn all the countries of the world.
Fire it up, bro.
Imagine a map of Turkey. God's like, hey, listen, your ministry is not just going to be in Turkey anymore. Now, I'm bringing you over to Macedonia. Where's Macedonia? Macedonia is in Europe.
Okay.
Wow. Macedonia is in Greece. Are you following? This guy, when you read these things, you have to understand that this is all relating to a map. Okay? And so, God's like, Paul, your vision was only Turkey before. Now, I'm widening your vision to include Europe and Greece. God's plan is for the entire world. Amen?
Amen.
And I think this is huge for us because be praying. I mean, I'm very excited. For the GLC guys, just if you could be praying, it's going to be Patrick and I, Iggy, Tina, Adelie, Josh, and Ariel. 8 of us are going to be representing the Lagos Church. Amen, guys? We're going to be representing you.
Alright.
And so pray for us. Give us have a safe trip. Balaji, we're leading the church in our absence. Please give them your full respect as you would give to me. Amen.
Yeah.
I know Balaji and Shinyu taking care of things. God's going to go work powerfully. Amen.
Yeah.
Point number 2. God's plan is to reach all types of people.
Amen.
God's plan is for the entire world. God's plan is to reach all types of people. Now, what's interesting here is in Acts chapter 16, we see in verse 13 to 15, it says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth.
Come on, Lydia.
Amen.
Go ahead, bro.
From the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized,
Amen.
She invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us.
Amen.
You know what's powerful here? This is a high-powered lady.
Yes,
Amen. Is. Women have a great place in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting is that normally Paul went to the synagogue to preach. But you know what? Right here, there weren't enough Jewish men. Sadly, there were so few Jews that there were no synagogue. You had to have at least 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue. But there was a place of prayer. And what's interesting is that at this place of prayer, what did Paul see as they walked up? Women. Where were all the men? You see, you notice that a lot in churches today. Women are actually more like 70% of the church. And you don't see men leading. That's not going to happen in God's house.
Amen. That's right. Come on, Andrew.
The men and the women need to be equal.
Amen.
In God's house. The men lead. That is our role before God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But the women have a voice.
Amen.
And my wife leads the women in a powerful way. Amen.
Amen.
But you see here, where were the guys praying? It was just the women that were by the water praying. Guys, we need to be praying. Amen. And so, what's interesting here is that Paul preaches, and in every case where he preaches, he tries to preach to the most powerful person he can find. This kind of goes back to what I was saying last week. You know, last week I was talking about, you know, all like, you know, ethnicities. But we've also got to be willing to preach to all types of people. Are you willing to share your faith with your boss?
Yes.
Are you willing to share your faith with your MD?
Come on.
Are you willing to share your faith with a person that intimidates you?
Come on, professors.
You know, we live in a society where authority is very much respected. Mm. To a point. Mm. But it's almost respected to a negative. Where people are like, yes. They look down, they're looking at yes. And you know, again, I am an evangelist in the kingdom of God. But I want to make sure you guys know, I am approachable.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There is no security team of 5 guys around me. There's no table where I have to be separate and you can't come up to me and talk to me or to Patrick. Now, of course, we are also worthy of respect.
Amen.
Don't swing the pendulum the other way.
Amen.
Are you with me here?
Amen.
But sadly, I think sometimes people are afraid to talk to people of prominence. Do you not realize that it's God's plan to talk to people of prominence? Because if you win people of prominence, they have more influence.
Right.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
You know, at our anniversary service, I appreciate Lord Wilson. He's like, Andrew, I want you to meet my Oga. I'm like, yo, Oga, okay, who's this? He's like, I want you to meet this friend of mine. And this guy was so just a very warm, just very down-to-earth guy. He's like, yeah, my name is Emmanuel. I'm like, okay, what do you do, Emmanuel? Oh, I'm a lieutenant colonel in the army. I'm like, and we had an amazing conversation. We followed up and still talking. But it takes a lot of effort to get a lieutenant colonel in the army to come out to church.
Yep.
Are you with me here?
Yes.
Why? Because he's going after people of influence. He's going after prominent people.
Right.
You've got to ask yourself, are you courageous to bring anyone, all types of people? Because very often what happens is we talk to people who we think we can influence, who may be not at our level, but maybe a little bit below. Are you with me here? I saw this advertisement as I was driving. It says, you know, something about some bank, and it's like, you know, increase your level. I'm like, increase your level? What are we, like Indians with the caste system?
Right.
But I realized that that's how a lot of Nigerians think. That people think, well, I'm at a certain level. I want to get to this level. I'm like, do you even know who you are in Christ? Because if you think that just because someone's rich, they're at a better level or more important than you are, then you're sadly mistaken.
Absolutely.
Guys, you're kind of quiet here, but maybe I'm convicting you or something.
Come on, Andrew.
Come on.
But it's time for us to start bringing prominent people out to church, which means you got to know they're prominent. And usually when they're prominent, they're also more prideful, which means that now you got to work harder to win them and inspire them by your knowledge of God's word, by your example of integrity. But if you don't, you won't. Are you with me here?
Amen.
Guys, this is huge. I think this is very important because have you preached the most... campus students, have you preached to your professors yet?
Have you?
Have you shared it with your professors?
Talk about it.
Come on, baby.
Yes. I've had professors come out with me to church.
Yep.
I've had CEOs come out with me. Doctors, lawyers come out with me. Engineers come out. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because I don't care who you are. Your role, your title does not impress me. You know what impresses me? Integrity. Righteousness. That's what impresses me.
That's right.
If you're like, you know, around people, trust me, you are forgetting who you are. You're forgetting whose you are. You are an ambassador of God himself.
Right.
How do you think the ambassador of Buhari, if he had his chief of staff, if he had the ambassador from Nigeria walk up in here, how would he act? How would he act? Would he be like this? He'd walk into this room like he owned it. He would talk to you like he owned you. How do you go around? Or do you walk with pride?
Come on, bro.
Maybe pride is the wrong word in that context.
Confidence.
Are you with me here? Pride in the Lord, amen? Not in yourself.
Amen.
But guys, this is huge. This is huge. Well, anyway, it goes on here. Paul and Silas ends up converting this jailer who tried to lock him up, which is pretty intense. And then Paul goes on to preach the word time and time and time again. You know what's interesting here? Take a look over in Acts chapter 17. This is powerful. Because here in Acts chapter 17, we read, starting in verse 10, it says, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. See, that's what they normally did. That was their pattern. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures what?
Every day.
Who here had a quiet time every day this week? Okay. Thank you for being honest. I didn't go the other way. You notice I didn't say who didn't have one. I would anyone imagine. Guys, this is Bible. Do you want to be noble? Do you want to be better? Who here went to work every day this week? Oh, you didn't go to work? Okay. I mean, the point is, you go to work every day, right? Unless you're off. School, that's work too. Right? Guys, I'll be honest with you. Being disciples of Jesus means we have a daily walk with God.
That's right.
Are you with me here, guys? I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to convict you.
Amen.
If we don't have daily Bible study, we're no better than the Pharisees. If we don't have a daily relationship with God, but yet we claim to be the disciples, we claim to have the truth, and we can't take out a little time in the day to spend time with the creator of the heaven and earth because we're too busy. It says the Bereans were more noble in the character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness. Hopefully your time with God is not a burden.
Not at all, bro.
It should be eager. Well, I get to learn something new. I get to be a better husband, a better wife, a better friend, a better disciple. I get to know Jesus.
Amen.
Eager, and guess what? Examining the scriptures. You know, I'm you know what I'm studying right now? 1 and 2 Corinthians. Your evangelist is a disciple.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
I pray every day.
Amen.
And I got two little ones running around. Daddy, daddy, daddy. I get up early before they wake up. my wife and I, and we have our time with God.
Amen.
Are you with me here?
Awesome.
What time do you wake up?
Come on, bro.
5:45 in the morning, my alarm goes off. 5:45 in the morning. You know why? Because I know if I don't get up, what's going to happen? I'm going to miss that time. Because once 7 o'clock hits, Daddy, you hungry, Daddy? Please, Daddy, help me somebody eat, Daddy. Uh-huh. Those of you who have kids, you know. Those of you who don't, you will find out soon. Are you with me here? You know, I appreciate this. Patrick and I love good old Benita very much.
Amen.
And, you know, Benita gets up very early.
Yes,
Benita works for Men's Art, and, you know, she has to get up like 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
But you know why she gets up at 4:30 in the morning?
To read her Bible.
To read her Bible.
Come on, Benita.
She gets up at 4:30 in the morning to read her Bible, to spend time with God. And then, you know what she does? She gets on the bus.
Wow.
And she takes it all the way from her job, all the way to VI, battling 2 hours plus of traffic.
Wow.
And she's expected to be there and supervise at her job.
Come on.
That's right.
What's our excuse?
Nothing.
Oh, by the way, did I tell you she has a little one too? Are you with me, guys?
Yeah, come on in.
Campus students, singles, married without kids. It's time for us to be noble.
Amen.
It's time for us to stop calling ourselves disciples and start living as one.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says here, they eagerly examine scriptures every day. Why? Because they wanted to close closer to God. It says to see if what Paul said was true. If you're a guest here today, don't take my word for it. You go back and study this out yourself.
That's right.
Take notes. Get together with the person that invites you out today. Study the Bible.
Amen.
And then see if your definition of Christianity matches up with what the Bible says.
That's right.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference what I think. I want to hold out the word of God to you.
Amen.
And that's why it goes on. Many of the Jews believe, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men.
Amen.
You know, guys, it's time, I truly believe, that the Lagos church is going to change. We've hit a little bit of a lull. Studies have kind of gone down. Not many as people really moving. And you know what? It's time for that to change.
Amen.
I want to challenge every single person in this church who is a disciple of Jesus Christ to share their faith every day.
Amen.
I want to challenge every disciple. Everyone did not raise their hand today. To get up in the morning and spend some quality time with the Lord. And you may say, Andrew, I have to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay, fine. I don't want to overwhelm you. So guess what you do? You can have your quiet time at night, then get up at 2:30 and then go off to work. Whatever. It's up to you. But you know what? If you can brush your teeth every morning, you can get into the Word every morning.
That's right.
If you can, wash yourself every day, you can find time to wash your character every day.
Amen.
So don't tell me you don't have 5 minutes to open the Bible and be inspired by God's Word. I'm not saying you have to sit down there for 2 hours like, okay, I have to get into the Greek and Hebrew. That's not what I'm saying. But you can take half an hour, 20 minutes, hour if you have it, and spend some quality time.
Right.
It's up to you. Do you want to be noble or do you want to be base? Guys, this is the difference between a disciple and a religious hypocrite.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Be inspired by our sister Bonita.
Amen.
Amen.
Be inspired.
Amen.
If she can get up at 4:30 in the morning, that convicts me. I'm like, 4:30, man. Amen, my sister. And then when she's on the bus, what do you need to do? Hey, what do you do when you're on the bus?
Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting there for 2 hours. You know, it's really surprising. You go to London, people are like,
yeah.
I went on the tube one time in London. I started talking to people. They were like,
yeah.
What's going on? I'm like, I'm going to talk. I want to talk back. I'm American.
Yeah, that goes.
But you know, what do you do when you're on the bus? Do you share your faith?
Yep.
You're on the bus. Oh, traffic is so bad. Ah, traffic is so bad.
Seeking God, real quick.
Hey, bro. Okay, studied this before? Have you ever studied that a Christian and a disciple are the same? Have you ever studied this? Really? It looks like the traffic is really bad. Why don't we study this? Do you understand the opportunity God is giving you?
Yeah.
Instead of looking like, oh, traffic is so bad, what am I going to do?
That's right.
You can have a Bible study on the bus.
Come on, Max.
Make the most of every opportunity, family. Guys, you know, as we close here, I'm very grateful for you.
Amen.
You're the reason why I came.
Mm-hmm.
You're the reason why we all came.
Amen.
And that's why I will always keep the standard high with you. Because I expect greatness from you.
Thank you.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I expect greatness from you.
Yes.
I don't expect mediocrity from you.
Right.
And you know what? It doesn't make a difference about me. Jesus died for you to be great. Jesus died so you could be an example to this lost world.
Amen.
We gotta get to all of Lagos. We gotta get to all of Nigeria. We gotta get to all of West Africa. We gotta get to the continent. And we gotta get to the world. Are you with me this morning? Are you ready to see the vision one? Let's go and save this world for Christ. Thank you very much.